Right now, we face an unprecedented moment in this country and around the world. Things are changing quickly. Every day, there are new updates about federal, state, and local efforts to slow down the spread of the virus and save lives. While many of these efforts are valiant, important, and life-saving, others are causing concerns among online privacy advocates and social justice activists. For example, reports of increased surveillance and GPS tracking for the enforcement of stay-at-home orders, government and social media sites censoring content and information, the U.S. Department of Justice requesting the ability to detain people indefinitely without trial, and the potential for more authoritarian actions that aren't medically necessary. In the U.S., the government is talking to companies like Google, Facebook, and Clearview AI, which is a less-than-reputable firm specializing in facial recognition technology, about ways to access location tracking data from smartphones and engage facial recognition for tracking purposes. The governments of Israel, Singapore, and Australia have already implemented such location tracking. In addition, schools are turning to online learning and businesses to online conferencing software, bringing the potential for online privacy breaches, hacks of personal data, and mass surveillance of communication. Lindsay Oliver is with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I spoke with her earlier today.
We are joined on the line now by Lindsay Oliver. She's Activism Project Manager at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a group that has worked to preserve online privacy for many years now. And the group EFF has put out a guide to what people should know about online tools being used during the COVID-19 crisis. I know a lot of people are working online for the first time. Some of the ones that are being used by schools are things like Bark, Go Guardian, Gaggle, Social Sentinel, which are things that EFF has brought up in the past as concerns for student privacy. Maybe we could just start with that on the educational side. What are some of the ways that this online schooling and online teaching is affecting students' privacy?
Absolutely. So on the student privacy side of things, we're seeing a lot of kids having to move to doing homeschooling or online learning. And many of the schools are sending kids home with school-issued devices that have basically spyware installed on them. They're monitoring all of the papers that students are writing in some cases. In other scenarios, schools are employing social media monitoring to check up on what students are doing online and outside of school hours. And it's pretty invasive software that really breaks down trust between students and their schools and their teachers, and really makes for a learning environment where, you know, surveillance is a prerequisite for an education.
Wow. And what about some of the arguments that people make that, this surveillance technology isn't such a harmful thing for young people if they've done nothing wrong, they have nothing to hide? I know EFF has countered that argument. I wonder if you could talk about that.
People want to maintain their privacy for a variety of reasons. And I would call that that argument that people put forth that, you know, if you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to hide, honestly a myth. You may want to keep a private conversation between you and your partner private. You may want to keep conversations that you're having with your healthcare provider private. So the argument that, you know, if you've done nothing wrong, you've got nothing to hide, it's based on an incorrect assumption that only, like, bad people or people who broke the rules, they're the only ones who want privacy. And it comes down to one simple question. What do you want to protect? The fact that you talk to your doctor about a private health concern. Maybe you are attending a political rally. Maybe you are organizing for a cause. Maybe you would like to keep conversations with your partner private. Those are all things that you shouldn't have to give someone else access to. You should have privacy, and that doesn't stop if you're a student.
Yeah, and you mentioned healthcare. That's something that I don't know if a lot of people realize, but during this particular COVID-19 crisis, the Department of Health and Human Services has actually altered the HIPAA rules to allow healthcare providers to use online applications to speak with patients. What should people do if they're having a teleconference with their healthcare provider and they're concerned about privacy? Are there steps that they can take?
I would talk to your healthcare provider about what the applications are that they're using and what they're doing to safeguard your privacy and what steps they may be taking in the future to move back to HIPAA compliance.
Why is online privacy something that is important to actually pay attention to during a crisis? Some people might say, well, this is an emergency. We don't have the time or bandwidth to worry about online privacy at a time like this.
In times like this, it's honestly, we're all pretty scared. And it's important that people are informed about the potential privacy risks of the tools that we're all moving on to as we social distance, as we remain in isolation. Lots of organizers and caregivers, schools and workplaces, they're all using new platforms, and they may not be aware of the potential for their data and the data of at-risk people to be exposed. Say you're organizing for a cause or you are trying to provide mutual aid to marginalized or at-risk people. If you're using applications that have the potential to leak that data or have a third-party hacker get a hold of it, you want to be aware of that risk before you start using it so that you can plan and try to mitigate and minimize the data that can be leaked.
Hmm. Especially with the possibility that this type of technology would then be in place once this crisis has ended and would continue to be used. I mean, that's something that I know is a concern, especially regarding like facial recognition technology in order to try and identify who has the virus and is not going into quarantine or that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And that's something that we're concerned about as well. We're looking into it and monitoring. One of the recommendations that I would make for folks who are concerned about this is to stay informed. The Electronic Frontier Foundation does a lot of work in this area, and we also provide a lot of resources and tools for helping keep you safe online. A great place to stay in the know is to sign up for EFF's newsletter, Effector. And then for tools and resources, I would highly recommend going and checking out Surveillance Self-Defense, which is at ssd.eff.org. That is a repository of online tools, how-tos, installation guides, and deep dives to help you understand how to circumvent surveillance, how to keep you and your loved ones safe through this crisis and beyond.
Yeah, thanks. And especially any students that are doing online learning, there's a whole section on that website, ssd.eff.org. That's Surveillance Self-Defense, ssd.eff.org. And it's a privacy for students. It talks about some of the technology that's used by schools and how it affects students and what they can do about it. Lindsay, I want to thank you so much for joining us on KBOO today. Again, I've been speaking with Lindsay Oliver, who's Activism Project Manager at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF. Thanks for being with us today, Lindsay.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO Radio.